The topic of the shiur today is Isru Chag, and the reason why it's the topic is partially because we're doing Tehillim in general, so I try to keep with a theme, and because I'm giving shiur on Monday night, I just wanted to end before Sukkos, so we're going to have a shiur about Tehillim and Sukkos within Isru Chag. So does everybody know where this pasuk is said normally in Tefillah? Isru Chag, the pasuk is, Isru Chag ba'avosim ad karnos ha'mizbeach. Yeah, where is that from? Hallel, good. All right. So the pasuk is actually said in Hallel, and the pasuk comes from Tehillim Parak Kuf Yud Ches, pasuk Chaf Zayin. So I saw an interesting Gemara learning out two separate limudim on the concept of Isru Chag, and they're fascinating Gemara. So we're going to take them up. So I'm going to ask people to read. If you don't want to read, it's fine. Okay? So I'll start. I'll do the first. The main source is number one on the source sheet. So the main source is Mesechus Sukkah, Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says like this. I'm going to read through the whole sources, and then we're going to ask some of the questions. So it says, Amar Rabbi Abahu, Amar Rav Elazar, Kol Anotel Lulav Ba'agudo. So anybody who takes a lulav with its tie, the hadas ba'avoso, and a hadas, myrtle, in its thickness, ma'ale alav hakasuv, ki'ilu bana mizbeach, v'hikriv alav korban. So it's as if, or the pasuk treats it as, it's as if somebody, that person created or built a mizbeach, and brought a korban on that mizbeach. Shenamar, because it says in the pasuk, isru chag ba'avosim ad karnos ha'mizbeach. So we're going to see from Rashi later on how the pasuk explains the limud. But we'll just leave it off for now. And the next one is Amar Rabbi Yirmiya Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Hamachuzi Mishum Rabbi Yochanan Hamachuzi, Kala Ose Iser Lachag Ba'achila Ushasiya. So anybody who creates an Iser Lachag, which we're also going to explain what that means, with eating and drinking, Male Alav Hakasov Ki'ilu Bana Mizbeach V'Hikriv Alav Korban. So it's the same limud. It's as if that same person built a mizbeach and put a korban on it. Shenamar isru chag ba'avosim ad karnosa mizbeach. So what are the questions? What are the obvious questions that arise? Anybody want to ask the question? Does this make sense? What's the connection between lulav and building mizbeach and bringing a korban? And what's this idea of isru chag, the second idea of achila and shasiyah? But before we go on, we're just going to do the pshat. What's the pshat of the pasuk? You know, before we understand the agadata, we need to understand the pshat. So if you look at number two, so, yes.
Isn't it also Isru Chag after Pesach?
Yes.
Right.
We're going to see. It's not just Sukkos also. It's every...
It's like all Chag.
All Chag.
Right, so here's the five lulav of
Hadat. So there's two separate limudim. The first one is anybody who takes a lulav ba'agudo and a hadas ba'avoso, it's as if, and that they learn out from the pasuk. And then there's a separate limud that anybody who eats and drinks on the day after the Chag is also. So they're
maybe
two separate.
Any Chag? The second one is any Chag?
Any
Chag.
Chag
Sukkos also?
Chag Sukkos also has Isru Chag. And so after Atzeres, after Shmini Atzeres.
Which one is called Chag? Oh, Atzeres.
Yeah.
Shavuos is called Chag? Which one is called Chag?
Called Chag.
Just plain Chag.
They're all.
One of them called plain Chag?
No. The Korbanos are. We're going to see. Right. But, alright, so there's two Limudim. The first one says that anybody takes a Lulav and a hadas, it's as if they built a mizbeach and brought a korban. And the second limud says that anybody who eats and drinks and creates an iser lachag, it's as if he brought a korban, built a mizbeach and brought a korban. So the question is, what is the relationship between the lulav and building mizbeach and bringing a korban? And the second question is on the second limud, what's that idea? What's the idea of an iser lachag, right? But first we have to understand the pshat. So the pshat is number two. Tehillim, I just quoted the pasuk, so it says the whole pasuk is Kel Ad Hashem Vayayar Lanu Isru Chag Ba'avosim Ad Karnos HaMizbeach. So Kel, our God, gave us light. He enlightens us. Isru Chag Ba'avosim. So if you look at Rashi and the Radak, I brought down both because they both give similar pshatim. So it says Isru Chag Ba'avosim in number three, and Sabina's going to read if she wants to. All right, Miriam Clark's going to read.
Okay. Isru Chag
Ba'avosim.
Ba'avosim. Ba'avosim.
Good.
Hazvachim v'had ha-chagigot shayun nekayim bedavken
ubdukin
ubdukin mimam kasharim bichrai
mitosayim
mitosayim ad shi yavam lazarab
bikarnot
hamazayach.
Okay, stop. Alright, so what does that mean? So the chagigos, which are the korbanos that you bring on the chag, so they were clean and they were checked for mumim, meaning they were checked for blemishes. So those same korbanos, what they would do is that they would tie them to the bedposts, koshrin bekra'e mitosam, until they brought the korban to the mizbeach. Okay? So practically, isru means to tie up, chag is referring to the korban, and ba'avosim is tied to ropes. It means to tie it up with string or rope. If you look at the Radak, he says the same, pretty much very similar, the same shot. He says in number four, Jesse, you want to read number four? Oh, okay.
Yisru chag ba'avotim, heviyu ha-keves kashur ba'avotim, ad shetaviyu hu l'karnas mizbeach, klamar l'akrivo l'fnei Hashem.
All right, good. So they would tie up the keves, the lamb, with rope, avosim, until they brought it to the horns of mizbeach, klamar, as if to say, to bring a korban before Hashem. So what's the idea of the Tehillim? What's the idea of tying up the korban? Just like a basic idea. Why is the Tehillim even mentioning the fact that they would tie up the korbanos or what the...
Because they tied it up while it was alive to make sure it wouldn't get hurt.
Yeah.
It would get damaged.
Yeah. So what does that demonstrate? It just demonstrates a certain level of shmira of the korban, correct? So the idea of tying up the korban, the pshat of the pasuk is telling you that there's an idea of extra shmira on the korban. Because it demonstrates a certain relationship that the person has to the korban. They're not just going to leave it out in the fields. So even though they check it for mum and they make sure that it's clean, they're not going to just leave it out in the field, but they're going to demonstrate a certain respect and a certain love of bringing the korban by this extra shmira of tying it up. So that's just the pshat of the pasuk, according to Rashi, and the Radak's also saying the same thing. Okay, fine. So that's the pshat, but we still have a question on the Gadata, right? So... How do you explain the pasuk, the words of the pasuk, to match the agadata? So we're gonna define the first agadata, and then we're gonna define the second agadata. So the first agadata is kol anota lulav ba'agudo v'hadas ba'avosom mala elav akasuf ki lubanam isbeach v'hikar elav korban shenamar isru chag ba'avosim. So if you look at Rashi, Eliza, you want to read number five? Yeah. Rashi explains how the words of the pasuk match the agadata, the limud of the agadata. Go on.
Isru aguda shalulav.
Okay, so that's... Yeah. Okay, go on.
Okay, ba'avotim b'hadas. Shehu avot shal shlosha b'din kliya.
Okay, so Isru is referring to the tie of the lulav. So they tied the three minim, the lulav. Because whenever it says eged b'lulav, it's referring not just to the lulav, but lulav, hadas, and arava. And ba'avosim means thick. And the hadas was a thick tree. That's how it's anaf eitz avos in the Torah. So the... And ad karnos... Go on, Lisa. Yeah, korbanos hamizbeach. Right. I think it should say shebekronos hamizbeach. Yeah, I think it's a mistake. But the idea is that it's like placing the dam on the corners of the mizbeach. So that's how you learn out. So Rashi's showing you how you learn out the pasuk with the limud. So the isru is talking about the tie. The avusim is referring to the hadas because it's thick. And the ad karnos is referring to the horns of the Mizbeach, which was really the Kiyam HaKorban. It was the end process of the Korban, where they would take the blood of the Korban and they would sprinkle it on the horns of the Mizbeach. Okay? But what's strange, before we move on, when we analyze this Gadata, does anybody have, it says, Kol Anota Lula Ba'aguda V'Hadas Ba'Avosa. So what could it have said in general? Like, what's strange about that line?
There's two other meanings.
Right. And why didn't it just say, if the whole idea, let's just say the whole idea is that anybody who picks up a lulav and is yotzei mitzvahs lulav, it fulfills this idea of like bringing a korban, building a mizbeach and bringing a korban. Why then it should just say that. Why does it specify kol anota lulav ba'agudo v'hadas ba'avosa? Why is it specifying those two things? I mean, if the idea is just talking about mitzvahs lulav in general, it shouldn't have to specify those two things. And like Jesse asked, there are other minim too. So why are we just forgetting about the other minim?
Well, the pasuk only references those
two. I know, but obviously there's an idea in the fact that the pasuk is only referencing those two. It's referencing a specific idea.
But it does say the lulav.
What? No, it says called Nota Lulav Ba'aguda. So anybody who takes a lulav with its tie, and what's that referring to? So if you know, like everybody has, you know, they have those nowadays they have the leaf thingies that they the holders, but it ties, and there's a kesher. They usually a tie, and yeshiva they just tie them directly to the lulav. But there's an idea. We're going to discuss that idea. But there's an idea of tying those three minim together. The lulav, so that's what it's referring to. Called notel lulav bug, and the hadas ba'avosa is referring to the hadas, the thickness. So.
Yeah, one year I learned how to do it. I went to Queens.
Yeah.
You can just buy them, and there's like a whole complicated way.
Of yeah, yeah.
It
I just bought a
lulav. I learned it one year, and I was.
I just bought. You don't have to do it like that.
Okay.
I do it.
It's cool
because I don't know.
They just bundle together in yeshiva. They just tie it.
Yeah,
anyway,
you just
want,
do
just
a double knot or whatever.
Oh, wow.
But I just went to.
I didn't wish I knew that.
No, it is brought down. I think it's brought down in the Mishnah Berurah that way, method of tying. I don't know the reason why, but I don't think it's like Ma'akiv or anything.
Oh, okay.
And I know like the other Rishonim don't bring it down. But I actually just bought a little of an Esrog and they put an extra of those the way they tied it like that.
Oh, yeah,
they put
an
extra instrument. So, all right, fine. So the question is, why is the Gemara focusing on the Eged of the Lulav and the Hadas in specific and not the other Minim? Okay. So if you look at number six, the Maharsha, the Maharsha points out an interesting idea. The Maharsha points out an interesting idea as well about this Agadata. It's just in, like an analytical point. So, Miriam, you want to read? Number
sure.
six.
Okay. Kol hanotel lulav be'agudah b'chulei. Dehayinu asiyat lulav be'agudah be'adas be'avadato. He mitzvah ki'ilu bana mizbeach v'notzlin hi.
Unitilasan.
Unitilasan hi mitzvah ki'ilu kriv karban. Ulukach lo nikat.
Okay.
Hmm?
Yeah, go on.
Lo nikat rav lulav.
Rock.
Oh.
Sorry, Rock Lulav.
Rock Lulav, Desayach, Ba.
Desayach Be Asiyas Aguda.
Desayach Be Asiyas Aguda. Be'adas Desayach Be Avot.
So he's saying that you can split it up into two. There's the building of the Mizbeach, which is the creating the Lulav with the Aguda and the Hadas Ba'avosa, and then there's the actual Netila, the carrying, the Mitzvah. The Mitzvah, what's the Mitzvah of Lulav? The Mitzvah of Lulav is to pick everything up together. Once you pick everything up, so that's equivalent to bringing the korban and the creating of the eged, and I guess the hadasim, or I guess picking the hadasim is like building the mizbeach. So there are two separate parts to this agadata. There's the building of the mizbeach, and then there's the hikriv korban. So
I was
going to
ask you about that, like the building of the mizbeach. Like, let's say it's in the time of the mikdash. I assume this is relevant also in the time of the mikdash when we already the mizbeach is there.
Yeah, yeah. It's talking about when it's mutter to, like, and there was shas isar abamos, but there was also a time period where it was mutter to build mizbeachos and bring korbanos. So it's like referring to that when it was mutter. All right. So how do we analyze? What do you think the best way to analyze the agadata is? Like, what's the next step? What do we have to understand in order to get an understanding of what the Agadata means, like based on?
What's the idea of the bundling of the lulav?
Good. So we have to understand each idea in specific, right? And maybe there's a common theme that we could draw out from those two ideas, those two concepts. All right. So, what are we up to? Number seven. Okay. So number seven is the Gemara Masechta Sukkah Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. So we have to understand what the idea of an eged, what the source of an eged is by a lulav, a tie for the lulav, and why do we have it, you know? And then maybe we can come out with. So Nicole is a newcomer. She's gonna read number seven, okay?
Keman Azla Heitanya Lulav Mitzvah LeUgudav Imla.
Right, stop. LeUgda. So who teaches the Keman Azla? Who's this braisa like? Where it says, lulav, there's a mitzvah to tie it up, lo'agdo. The im lo'agdo, and if you don't tie it up, kosher, it's still good. Okay, go on.
I Rabbi Yehuda, ki lo'agda imai kosher.
Okay.
I Rabbanan imai mitzvah.
Okay.
Lo'olam Rabbanan hi. U'mishum sh'nemar shmot tetvav,
Zeh keliv anvehu?
Zeh keliv anvehu, hitna'a lefana b'mitzvot.
Okay, so there's a machlokas in the Gemara whether you need an eged or you don't need an eged. But the Rabbanan, it's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda learns out that you need an eged, because he learns it out from by Agudas Ezov, the idea of Agudas Ezov, which we're not going to take up, but the Rabbanan learn it out from Zekhe Levan Ve'u. So what's the idea of Zekhe Levan Ve'u? Hisna'e lefanav b'mitzvos. So it's a beautification of the mitzvah of Lulav by having an eged. So the idea of eged, according to the Rabbanan, but we actually paskin that you don't need an eged, we paskin like the Rabbanan, that you don't need one. It's mitzvah min avuvchar, it's a better way to do the mitzvah with an eged, but the idea of the eged is that it's a beautification of mitzvah Lulav. So the source is Zekhe Levan Ve'u. And there's gemaras all over Shas which say, like, Zekhe Levan Ve'u is not just limited to Lulav, but it's also, like, have a nice sukkah, have a nice tefillin. It's a general concept. But over here, in specific, the source for eged is an idea in Noi Mitzvah. Hisna'e lefan of the mitzvos. It's a funny lashon, right? It's beautify yourself before him with mitzvos. It's not really beautifying the mitzvah, but by doing a mitzvah in a more beautiful way, you're beautifying yourself in front of him. Lefanov. It's not lefanov in mitzvahs. Okay, fine. So that's one idea. What about hadas? Aliza, sorry. What about hadas? So now we have eged. So the idea of eged is an idea of noi, right? A beautification of the mitzvah. But so now Aliza is going to read number 8.
Okay, Tanu Rabbanan, Ve'ikra Chav Gimel.
This is the source for, it's Maseches Sukkah, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis. So it's the source for Hadas. Go on.
Okay, Anaf Eitz Avas.
Yeah.
Anafab Chofin Et Eitzo.
Okay.
Ve'ezehu, Havei Omer Ze Hadas.
Okay, so stop. Do you want to translate?
Okay, so it says Anaf Eitz Avas, the leaves of a tree that's, I don't know what Avas is.
Thick.
That the leaves cover the tree.
Yeah, so the leaves of the hadas, they actually cover the wood part, the trunk of the tree. Okay, that's how they learn it out. So what is it? It's a hadas, because the leaves of the hadas actually cover the wood of the tree. Okay, so go on.
Okay, ve'ema zesa.
Okay.
Be'inyan avas v'lecha.
Be'inan avas v'lecha. So maybe you'll say it's a zesa. What's a zesa?
Olive tree.
Olive tree. So maybe you'll say it's an olive tree. So the Gemara says, no, it can't be. Why? Because it says you need an anaf eitz avos. You need a thick tree. And the leaves of the olive tree, they're not thick enough that they don't really cover the branch of the tree. So they rule out the olive tree. Okay, go on.
Ve'ema dolva.
Dolva. Okay. Anybody know what a dolva is? Okay. It's a plane tree, P-L-A-N-E. I don't know what that is. I looked it up on Wikipedia. It looks like a regular tree, but it's a plane, P-L-A-N-E. Plane tree, okay. So what about that? That could be what you have to take on with the lulav. Go on.
Be'inan anafav chofin et eitzo v'leika.
Okay.
So the leaves cover itself and it's thick.
So the leaves don't cover, it's a similar problem. The leaves don't cover the eitz, the tree part. The first one is that the leaves aren't thick. The olive leaves aren't thick. The second one is that the leaves by the plane tree, the leaves don't cover the wood part. Okay, and that's what you need. Right. Okay, fine. What's the next possibility?
A year dof.
Yeah. Anybody know what that is? Oleander. I don't even know what oleander is. You know what oleander is?
I've seen it. All right. I've heard the name. That I know. I know what it is though.
Yeah. Oleander. Sounds like oleander.
All right.
Amarabai.
I think it's a spice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oleander's a spice.
I've heard the name.
Okay. All right.
Amarabai mishle gimel derechayu derechay noam v'lecha.
Okay. So what's the problem? I didn't bring down Rashi here, but what's the problem? So the tree has thorns on it, the oleander. So the idea is that whatever the hadas has to be, it has to be pleasant. Derechay derechay noam. It has to be pleasant. Veleka. So the oleander is not really pleasant. It's thorny, and it's like it's almost like a sharp, dangerous tree. All right, go on.
Rabba Amar Mehecha, Sechar Yachet, Ha'emes V'Shalom Ahavo.
Okay, so it's a similar idea that it has to be pleasant. It has to be a mixture of truth and peace. That's what's loved. Meaning, the tree, it can't be thorny. It's the same idea. So what do you see about the one? What quality or characteristic do you see about the hadas right now from this Gemara? It has to be. It has to be pleasant. It has to be. There is a certain niceness to the hadas, to the way it looks, right? But let's go further. I don't know if anybody knows this halacha. This is a rare halacha. But if you look at number 9 in the Rambam, and some people I know do this, but if you look at number 9 in the Rambam, I think Miriam Carr is going to read the Rambam, number 9.
Okay. Kamana Talmehen, Lula Bachad, Vesra Gachad.
No, that's just that's a symbol for the. Yeah.
Vishne Bade Araba, Vishosha Bade Hadas.
Okay, good. Wait, so what does that mean? How many do you take? When you take a lulav, how many do you take? So you take, what
so
do you take?
So in one lulav and one esrog.
Good.
You have two aravot.
Good.
And three hadasim.
Okay, good. Go on.
Be'imra tzal ho'osif b'hadas k'dei sh'tiya aguda.
Gedola.
Gedola.
Yeah, go on.
Mosif v'nai mitzahi.
Good.
Aval shara haminim in mosim al haminim.
Al minyanam.
Minyanam. Ben Gorin Mehen Ve'im Hosif Ogara Lopasal.
Good. Alright, so what does that mean?
So you're allowed to add on you're allowed to add on Hadassim in yeah.
Why? What does the Rambam say? What's his lashon?
Noi mitzvah.
So what does that mean?
Like to add on to the mitzvah, it makes it more beautiful.
Beautiful, okay, good.
But anything else, it doesn't like add on to the mitzvah, so you can't do it.
All right, good. So what is the common theme between Eged and Hadas, based on these two areas, these two, the Gemara?
All
right. So both the Eged, the idea of Eged, is an idea of beautifying the mitzvah lulav, and the idea of Hadas in general is that it's a pleasant tree, and you see from the Rambam, and I think the Shulchan Aruch brings this down as well, that you're allowed to add more hadas and make it thicker and fuller. So the very thick, it makes it more beautiful. It makes the hadas more beautiful, right? So interestingly, just one point about the Agadata. So what's the difference between these two methods of beautification? Like what can you, how would you summarize the methods of beautification? So I was thinking, so sometimes I think the idea that perhaps this Gemara is pointing out is that there's two methods to beautify a mitzvah. Sometimes you have to restrict the expression of the individual and put it in a larger context, and it makes it more beautiful, like by lulav. So the idea of eged is a beautification through restriction. In other words, if you didn't have a tie for the lulav, so each min would have its own expression. You'd have lulav, you'd have arava, and you'd have hadas and esrog. But the idea is that it's counterintuitive, because most of the time you think that beautification is like adding on more jewelry, adding on more stuff. But sometimes you have to take away from the expression of one, of the individual, in order to make it more beautiful. And you see that idea from the Eged by Lulav, correct? But I think that's a chiddush. It's an unique. But other times, by Hadas, other times you do have to add. By adding to the number of Hadasim, you add to the beauty as well. So there's kind of the Gemara is telling you two very different methods of noi, of creating beauty. It's almost like sometimes, like with women, I guess, like sometimes too much makeup. There's like an idea, a phenomenon of a woman wearing too much makeup, and there's also an idea of a woman not wearing enough makeup. Though what's important is like the right amount of makeup, because it's similar by lulav. Like, you got to restrict the expression of love. You have to restrict it in order to make it more beautiful. But you also have to enhance or increase, in terms of size, other things in order to make it more beautiful.
So why is that only the hadasim and not a revosor?
Because the hadasim, part of the very character of the hadas, you see, is noy, is a beauty. There's a certain beauty to the hadas. It doesn't exist. That's why the Rambam limits it to the hadasim, right? Mm-hmm. I had another example of this also. The other idea also, by the way, that you see is that it's not just subjective, like how noi comes out. You know, you can't just pick and choose and say, I just want to choose to do this. Like, I'm just going to tie up the lulav and the arava alone and not the hadas. The Gemara is telling you that part of the idea of noi, it's not simply in the way it looks, but it's an expression of the relationship. In other words, you're presenting the idea of them more beautifully. Because the idea is that there's a relationship between Lulav, Hadas, and Arava. So the idea of tying them together is that you're presenting the idea in a more beautiful way. So it's not simply just that it looks nicer, but it's in the, it ha, you have to understand the mitzvah. If you understand that there's a relationship between Lulav, Hadas, and Arava, then it makes sense to tie them together. But if you don't understand how the mitzvah works, it just doesn't make sense. There's no idea of noi without understanding the concept of the mitzvah. Same thing with the hadas. You have to understand that there's a beauty to the hadas, and there's a beauty to its thickness, and therefore adding to it would be noi. I was thinking about also like another example, like a wedding picture. I was thinking about on the way here. So an example of a wedding picture. So you can't have everybody wearing like white dresses, and you can't have everybody wearing the same, the white tie that the groom wears. The idea is that the expression of the individuals has to be somewhat restricted so that the picture looks nicer and it makes more sense. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, the bride and groom, they have to dress nicer than everybody else. So there is individualistic, but it's all in the context of understanding what's going on. It's a wedding. So the wedding, the idea of a wedding is that you're enhancing the bride and the groom, and everybody else is supposed to fit in and they're supposed to be in the background. So too by lulav, the idea of lulav and the arba minim in general. You have to understand the concept, like what we're trying to highlight. But you also have to understand that some aspects need to be subdued and other aspects need to be enhanced. So I think that's a similar idea by Naye Mitzvah. But what's the idea of, so how do we compare it to a korban? Bringing a korban and building a mizbeach, like what's the idea? So we just isolated what the main theme is of these two, right? It's like Naye, it's beautification, right? So I'm just going to throw out a possibility. And if you guys have any questions, please feel free. So how do we explain it? So perhaps the idea is that let me give an example to try to help understand it. Like when a person davens, there's a halacha that a person's supposed to dress nicely, right? You're not supposed to wear slumpy clothes, but you're supposed to wear nice clothes. And the reason is that you're approaching God, you're lifnei Hashem. So when you approach God and you're cognizant of the fact that you're in the presence of God, you dress nicely and you beautify yourself. So, and when a person brings a korban, also, it's clear to the person that they're bringing the korban in the presence of God. They bring the korban to the mikdash, they put it on the mizbeach. So the idea is that when a person brings a korban and he sacrifices a korban, there's a recognition of the mitzvah, of that mitzvah of korban, of being in the presence of Hashem. So maybe the idea of noi also reflects that by mitzvah. In other words, if a person beautifies the mitzvah, so it reflects the fact that he's cognizant that he's in the presence of Hashem. Just like a person would beautify himself and his clothes if he were davening because he's in the presence of Hashem, so too, when a person does a mitzvah in a more beautiful way, it's expressing or it's reflecting the fact that he's aware and he's cognizant that he's always in the presence of Hashem. And you see that from the Lashon of the Gemara, because it says, Hisna'e lifanav b'mitzvos. So it says, beautify yourself before him. Why does it say lifanav? The idea is that if you recognize that you're before God and that you're in God's presence at all times, you'll do a mitzvah in a certain way. You'll prepare the mitzvah in a certain way. You'll prepare it with beauty and you'll do it with beauty. That's why it's Bana Mizbeach and Hikrav Korban, like the Maharsha says. You'll prepare it properly. You'll add the tie into the lulav and you'll be notel it in the most beautiful fashion. So perhaps that explains the idea of this limud. All right? Any questions? Does that make sense? It's clear? Is it smooth? Okay. So the next point is this: the normal idea of Isru Chag. What do you know about Isru Chag in general? Does anybody know any halachos about Isru Chag? What is it? We already discussed it. So somebody say, Tamar? No. What is Isru Chag? It's the day after, according to Rashi. We're going to do the Rashi inside, but Isru Chag is the day after festivals. It's the day after Sukkos is over, the day after Shavuos is over, the day after Pesach is over, right? So
the day with
no school. Okay.
Not All right.
Korea always gives school in Isru Chag. They make a point of specifically giving school.
So, all right. So we'll discuss whether it's appropriate to give school on Isru Chag or not.
Time, like the day, I think.
No, good. Miriam Klar, she one halacha that we're going to see is that you don't say tachna, not Isru Chag. Okay, that's good. So she's correct. All right, so we're going to do it inside, okay? So the second limud inside is, once again, let me just, it says, Kol ha'use iser l'chag ba'achila u'shasiya male alav ha'kasuv ki'ilu bona mizbeach v'hikav alav korban. It's the same idea. So anybody who creates an iser l'chag with eating and drinking, it's as if he was bona mizbeach and bringing a korban on it. So what is this idea? Look at Rashi number 10. I don't know which order I'm in terms of the reading, but I'm just going to call Nicole. Number 10.
Iser l'chag.
Okay, so create, what's an aguda? Like we said, it's a tie. Like it surrounds the chag. So surround the chag. Go on. Okay. Okay, so the first pshat in Rashi is that the whole chag should be, what it means by it's surrounded is that the whole chag should be defined and should be characterized as a chag of eating and drinking because of oneg. But the second pshat in Rashi is Yom Shel Achar Chag. It's referring to the day after the Chag, because the day after the Chag it binds the Chag. It surrounds the Chag. Go on. Ba'avosim.
Ba'avosim behemot avot v'shim
shmanot. Yeah. So what do you eat? You eat fat animals, thick fat animals. Avos means thick. Avosim means thick. So you eat thick fat animals on the day after the Chag. So what? Why is this like building Mizbeach? Same question. Why is this like building Mizbeach, bringing a korban? And what is the idea here? Like, why are we doing this? Isra l'chag. So,
Avos means thick.
Avos means thick, yeah. Avos. Like Av Ha'anan. Av Ha'anan. The thickness of the cloud. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So. all right, so we're gonna do the Marsha. The Marsha has a pshat on the Marsha has a pshat on Isru Chag on this idea, but then we're gonna take up the other idea, the more well known concept of Isru Chag. So Eliza, can you read number 11, Marsha?
Kol Ose Isru Chag ba'achila ule Pirush Rashi Lashon Isru Lo Yadati Lefarish.
Okay. So he doesn't understand how to explain the word Isur, but he's gonna give a parish himself.
Velulei pirishon yirad iser kemashmao sheose lo iser begeder b'mitzvah achila v'shtia b'chag.
Okay, so what does that mean?
So if you explain it as iser, you know, exactly like you make a gate around the mitzvah of achila v'shtia b'chag.
Yeah, so a person has to create an iser for himself, like a prohibition for himself on his eating and drinking in the chag. What does that mean? Go on.
Tehainu shelo le'achol achila.
Okay.
So you shouldn't eat too much or drink too much.
Yeah.
She'enu l'shem shemayim.
Good.
V'harei oto matar shelo achal v'shasa nechshav lo ki'ilu banem mizbeach v'hikrav alav korban.
Okay, go. Stop there. So that's fine. So what's he saying? So what's the idea of iser l'chag ba'achil l'shasiya? It means you create an iser for yourself. You actually prohibit yourself from overeating, being a glutton, and from drinking and getting drunk.
It's okay. On the chag, right?
On the chag itself. Okay? Why is that such an important halacha, and how is that related to creating or building a mizbeach and bringing a korban? So we're going to see this halacha is brought down in the Rambam, the idea of not overeating.
Yeah.
You know this halacha.
Yeah.
All right, you want to read it?
No. Wait, well, if you're drunk, then you can't bring a korban, right?
You cannot bring a korban, but it's referring to different. Well, you'll see. Let's do the Rambam. Okay? Miriam Klar.
Okay.
Number 12. The Rambam Hilchos Yom Tov, Parak Vav Halacha Chaf. He's talking about eating and drinking on Regalim, on the Shlosh Regalim. Okay, go ahead.
Sh'adam Achav V'shotzeh V'samach B'ragel Lo Yem Shoch B'yayin B'sh
V'shchok
B'kalot Rosh.
Okay.
V'yomer Shekol Mish Yosif B'zeh Your Baba Mitzvah, Smicha.
Okay, stop. So what is Simcha? So what is he saying?
So you shouldn't eat or drink too much.
Good.
Because like it's not.
He shouldn't eat or drink too much. You have a schok, and you shouldn't be laughing too much, like overly light. And the Kalash Rosh is like a light head. Shouldn't be like a party, you know.
Right.
And a person shouldn't think, oh, I'll just eat and drink more, I'll get smashed, you know. And that's a kiyum in mitzvah simcha. Maybe a person will think that. He shouldn't think that. Why? Go on.
Okay. Shehaskarot has spoke.
Shechras.
Shechras.
Oh, Very good.
Ha limidat sha avoda besimcha.
God.
Viev shar la avod at Hashem. Lo mitoch schok. Velo mitoch kalat rosh. Velo mitoch
shechres. Good. So what is he saying?
So it's like avoda Hashem isn't through
drunkenness.
All those kinds of things.
Right. So therefore, what is the Rambam saying? He's kind of saying the same thing as the Marsha. The idea on Yontif, of Simchas Yontif, is not that a person should get drunk, and not that a person should overeat and be a glutton, because that's not a way to serve God, b'simcha. And the idea is that part of the method of serving God on Yontif is through your happiness, is Simchas Yontif. You're v'samachta lifnei Hashem alakecha. You're sameach, you're happy before Hashem, lifnei Hashem alakecha. And that's an avoda, that's actually a service, a worship of God. Okay, so what's the connection between, in the Agadata, according to the Marsha, now what's the connection between this and between the idea of being Bona Mizbeach and Hikrav Korban? What's the key term in this Rambam? What do you see in this Rambam that would tie it to doing stuff on the Mizbeach? What is the act of eating and drinking? Like what did he just say? It's Avodas Hashem. It's Avoda, right? He says, Ela ala simcha sheyishba Avodas Yoter Hakol. It says Tachas Ashelo Avadatas Hashem Alakecha B'Simcha B'Tuv Leivav. So the method of Oved, of being a worshiper of Hashem on Yantif, is through Simcha, is through eating and drinking. So it's similar to a person building a Mizbeach and worshiping Hashem as well, just like the worship of sacrifices. Both are acts of worshiping Hashem. So the idea of the Gemara and the Agadata is that a person has to restrict his method of Simcha on Yontif in order to worship Hashem properly, just like a person has to bring a korban to the Mizbeach and worship Hashem properly. So there's a relationship between the two. What were you saying about Simchas Torah?
What?
Sabina?
Simchas
Beis Simchas Beis Hashoeva. Yeah, there's no idea of getting drunk on Simchas Beis Hashoeva. The idea is actually, I was just doing this Rambam, the idea of Simchas Beis Hashoeva is that on the night after Yontif, they would party in the Mikdash, and only the Talmidei Chachamim would party, and they would dance, and they would play all these instruments, and it was just a big party in the Mikdash. But it was not there was no
people do it on Chalamoid.
Yeah, there was no idea. Yeah. There is no Simchas Beis Hashoeva on Sukkos on the first day. It happens the first night of Chalamoid. And Mikdash, it went all night. It was like an all-night party till the morning, till the Tamid Shel Shachar. And in fact, the Gemara and the Rambam, they say that Amei Aretz were not allowed to participate. They had to watch. Only the Talmidei Chachamim were allowed to dance, and they were allowed to make fools of themselves. They were supposed to dance, and they were supposed to sing. They were supposed to play music, do headstands, juggle, like everything. It was like a big festival, a big carnival. All right.
Big thing in Israel.
Simchas Beis Hashoeva, but it becomes like a drunkenness. Does
yeah,
it become
like
that over there? Yeah, most shuls have Simchas Beis Hashoeva. They usually have like carnivals and stuff on Chol Hamoed. They always have concerts and stuff. The only thing is, Simchas Beis Hashoeva was limited to the Mikdash, so. It was only in the Mikdash, the base of Mikdash. Outside of the Mikdash, there was no Simchas Beis Hashoeva. But they're just like mimicking the same idea. There's like there's an extra simcha on Sukkos of Simchas Beis Hashoeva. All right. So the last point of this year is the idea of Isra Chag that we're all familiar with. I love Bar Ilan because like a lot of times you'll find sources for an idea that you never thought. I never thought the Rambam had an idea of Isra Chag, but if you look at number 13, because he doesn't bring it down, or I've never seen it in the Mishnah Torah, but if you look at number 13 in the Parasha Mishnah, he actually mentions Isra Chag, and he agrees with Rashi that Isra Chag is the day after the Chag. All right.
What's Bar Ilan?
Bar Ilan CD. It's like a database where you can you can search for things. So if you look at the Rambam, I'm going to read just number 13. He just talks about, he just says, I just brought him in just to show you that that this concept of Isru Chag, it's in the Rashi, but the Rambam also has it. He says, he's talking about the Lechem Apanim on the, he's talking about the Lechem Apanim on the Shulchan and the Mikdash, and he says, V'chein imchal yom tov acharon de'erev Shabbos mechalkin lechem apanim b'shaveh b'yom ha-Shabbos shu yom isru chag afal pishik var nigmar ha-chag. So if your yontif falls out on Erev Shabbos in the Mikdash, you have to put on the right amount of lechem apanim on Shabbos, the appropriate amount, because it's isru chag. I guess somebody didn't like that last idea and then they just buzzed in. No. So isru chag in the Rambam is, he says it's the day after the Chag. Afal pishik far nigmar hachag, right? So he agrees with Rashi that it's the day after the Chag. So Miriam Klar is going to read number 14 because she mentioned, actually number 15, so we're going to have somebody else read it. Nicole is going to read number 14. And I'm just going to show you in the Shulchan Aruch that it's brought down. This idea of Isur Chag is brought down. Okay? So go ahead. Read, please.
Ein noflim al peneihem b'chol chodesh nisan. ואין אומרים צדקתך בשבת במנחה, ואין מספידים בו, ואין מתענין בו, להזכיר
בציבור.
והבחורות מתענין בו בערב פסח.
All right, stop. So, you don't do Tachnun in all of Nisan. Does anybody know why? All right. You don't say Tachnun in all of Nisan because there's an idea of like Rubo Kukula. So really, the Nisim, they brought the when they were doing Chanukas HaMishkan, the Nisim brought on Nisan, every day of Nisan they would bring Korbanos. So really you wouldn't have Tachnun then anyways, and you have Pesach. So once you have all those days where you don't say Tachnun, we have an idea of Rubo Kukula. The whole month is qualified as a month of not saying Tachnun.
What is Tachnun?
Tachnun is right after Shemona Esrei, when you hit the deck, you put your arm out and you put your head on the you put your head on your arm. It's a Nefilas Apayim. It means like throwing down your head, but it's like it's a tefillah that we say right after Shemona Esrei every day. So you don't say that. The Ein Omrim Tzidkascha B'Shabbos. What?
Every day.
Yeah. We say Tachanun every day, and on Mondays and Thursdays we say longer Tachanun. The Hurachim. Yeah, but you also do the putting your head down in there at the end of a Hurachim. You put your head down. All right. Ve'en omrim tzidkascha b'shabbos b'mincha. So you don't say tzidkascha. Everybody know what tzidkascha is. After Shemona Esrei, you say this statement of tzidkascha, tzedek b'shabbos. I always get the psukim mixed up. That's why I need a sitter when I say it. But it's like tzedekah din. It's a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. But it's an idea. It's tied to Moshe Rabbeinu's death. So the idea is we don't do it on Nisan. Similar idea to Tachanun. Go on. Ve'en maspidin bo. There's no hesped in Nisan. Ve'en misanin bo. There's no tinus. Lahaskir b'tzibor, you don't mention anything in the tzibor, referring to tinus. I think he's referring to aninu. V'abechoros mis'anin bo be'er pesach. Except for Erev Pesach in Nisan, where the bechoros, they do a fast. Okay, go on, Nicole.
Haga, gam ein omrim tzedok hadin b'chol chodesh nitan. V'nehagu she'ein mit'anin bo ta'anit klal.
Okay. Yeah. So there's a halacha that you're supposed to say. There's a yurt and yurt sites. People don't know this. Most people think they're supposed to make a kiddush, but you're not. You're supposed to fast.
Funny.
The Ramah says openly here that you're supposed to fast. Why are you supposed to fast? Anybody have any ideas? Why are you supposed to fast on the yurt site?
Tshuva.
Tshuva, yeah. So the idea is tshuva, that when you think about a parent that passes, it's supposed to you're supposed to think about your own mortality. And part of tshuva is also fasting. It's supposed to help a person do tshuva. Okay, go on. Aval tainis chalom.
Aval tainis chalom. Mitanin ve'en.
Sometimes you do a tainis for if you have a bad dream. If you have like a really a dream that's very traumatic, sometimes you're misana and you fast. But you're allowed to fast. The Ramah is saying you would fast for a tainis chalom in Nisan. Okay, go on.
Ve'en omrim mizmor l'todav al erech apayim l'natzeach.
Okay.
Pesach v'lo biyom tov.
Okay.
ונהוגים להרבות קצת אכילה ושתייה ביום אחר החג. והוא עשר חג.
Good. So what is he saying? Just the last part. What's the last part?
You don't say mizmor l'todah.
No. The last. The very end.
Oh.
Ve'nohagin l'harbos k'tzas ba'achila u'shisiyah b'yom achar chag. So there's a minog. to eat more and to drink more on the day after the Chag, Isru Chag, because that is Isru Chag. So the Ramah brings down the Halacha, and he concurs with Rashi and the Rambam that there's a concept of eating more on the day after the Chag. Okay, go on. Miriam Clark, please read the next Halacha, number 15.
Israel has a note, but Motzei Chag Hashvuot. So you know how to give Hesped.
Fast. Tainus, Lis Anos.
I always said Misanin before it was Hesped.
No, Lahaspido is before.
Oh. Okay.
That's
makes sense.
Aser Lis Anos, Motzei Chag Hashvuot, okay.
Aser Lis Anos, but Motzei Chag Hashvuot. Haga, the Anom Rim Tafnin. We also Tafnin. Matzchilat Rosh Chodesh. Sivan ad Chet Bo, so you don't see Tachnun from Rosh Chodesh Sivan until Shavuos. Tehinu Acher Isra Chag.
Good. So you don't say Tachnun, or you don't say Tachnun from the beginning of Rosh Chodesh Sivan to the day after Shavuos. Why? Because the day after Shavuos is Isra Chag. So what are the three halachos that the Ramah brings down about Isra Chag, just practically? One, you're supposed to eat and drink more. Two, no Hesped. And the others. No Tachna, no.
From Rosh Chodesh Sivan to...
the day after Shavuos.
The day after Shavuos.
Isru Chag is a general lacha. The day after Pesach, the day after Shavuos, the day after Sukkos, you're supposed to eat more. Achil and Trisiyah more, no Tainus.
That's a long time, though.
It's 8 days. From Sivan to the... He says, "Ein omer tachna mitzvahs rosh chodesh sivan ad chesbo until the 8th day." She dahainu achar isru chag. That's after isru chag.
Right. Listen, we
say
tachna when we're in mourning. So
again,
we're not really in mourning. So
you want to talk? Okay, good. Whoa. All right. All right. So what's the idea of achila and shasia on? Somebody has to give me an idea about isru chag. Why would you eat more on Isru Chag? What is the fact that you don't say Tachnan, that you eat more? What does that reflect? Why wouldn't you have school on Isru Chag?
It's a day of Simcha.
It's a day of Simcha. Good.
Purification again of the Chag. Right?
Well, where else do we have Simcha?
During the Chag.
During the Chag, we did the idea in the Rambam of Simcha's Yontif. Simcha is the method of serving God, right? On Yontif. So the Gemara and Rashi and the Rambam and the Ramah, they're all saying that there's some concept of Simcha on the day after the Chag. Like, why would that be the case? What does that reflect? Why would you have an idea of Simcha after the Chag's over? So you have a similar idea, like, we have Malava Malka, right, after Shabbos, right?
Yeah.
So it's an idea in, like, Chavod Shabbos, right? Why is that the case? Because... the idea is that we don't want Shabbos. It's true, we recognize that Shabbos is over, but there's a certain benefit to the man's soul on Shabbos. Man's soul is on a different level. They're able to learn more. They're able to feel more relaxed. There's a different atmosphere on Shabbos. So the idea of Malava Malka is like a certain recognition that we don't want Shabbos. There's an idea. It's coupled to Shabbos because you're demonstrating that you don't want Shabbos to be over. You know, there's a part of you that longs for that same state. So what's the main state on Yontif? Simcha, right? So the idea, perhaps, of Isru Chag is an idea that after the Chag's over, it shouldn't just be, oh, I'm on my way, I don't care what just happened, you know, it didn't have any effect on me. But if a person really appreciates the state of Simcha on the Chag, so they'll long for it. And the idea of eating more on Isru Chag is a reflection of the fact that a person longs for that state, that he misses the state of Simcha that he was in on Yontif. He's not just gonna abandon it and not care about what just happened, but he wants it. He wants that state back. The truth is that is an ideal state, and obviously, like, Chagim have to be limited because you can't have everybody in a state of Simcha every day. It's just impossible because people have to go to work. You can't just sit there and have Basar Yain every day and have Isra Malacha. But the idea of Isru Chag is an idea of generating a similar type of Simcha that existed on the Chag, to reflect that a person's not just moving on with his life after the Chag's over, but he longs and he wants that same Simcha. So how does that make sense in the Agadata now? Anybody? What's the idea of Simcha, like we said? What's the idea of Simcha on Yontif?
Avodas Hashem,
right. So the idea of Simcha on Isru Chag also partakes of the same idea of being of of wanting that state of being an Oved LaHashem, of being a worshiper of Hashem. So the idea, if a person eats and drinks properly, and he reflects on the idea of wanting to be an Eved, and that same state of Simcha, so it's as if he built a Mizbeach, and it's as if he brought a Korban. Because it's a reflection of his perfection and his desire to be an Eved Lifnei Hashem, to be a person who worships and who brings Korbanos Lifnei Hashem. Okay? Anybody have any questions? No? Alright, so I'm just going to summarize the main points of the shir tonight. So the main topic of the shir was the pasuk from Tehillim, keeping in with the topic of all the shirim. So the pasuk was Isru Chag Ba'avosim Ad Karnos HaMizbeach. Actually, the whole pasuk is Kel Hashem Ba'yar Elanu Isru Chag Ba'avosim Ad Karnos HaMizbeach. So we said at the beginning of the shir that pasuk said in Hallel, but there's two main agadatos. One agadata was that anybody who takes a luav with its eged and hadas with its thickness, it's as if they built a mizbeach and brought a korban. And the way we explain that idea is that we said that the specifics of an eged and the specifics of hadas reflect an idea of noi, mitzvah. And the idea of a person beautifying a mitzvah is a reflection of the fact that he's cognizant that he's before Hashem, similar to a person bringing a korban, where a person bringing a korban is bringing it lifnei Hashem. He's cognizant of the fact that he's in the presence of Hashem. That's why you have to bring a korban that has no mum. It has to be an idea, a recognition that you're before God. And what's the second idea? The second agadata is anybody who eats and drinks, and we said according to Rashi, one pshat, actually the Marsha said that means that a person has to restrict their eating and drinking on Yontif. Why? Because a true Eved LaHashem on Yontif doesn't get smashed, he doesn't get drunk and be a glutton, but rather he worships Hashem properly, and that's as if he brought a korban, and he brought a korban on the Mizbeach. And the last idea is Isr L'Chag, which is the day after L'Chag, which is an idea in reflecting a certain longing for that state, that a person wants to be in the same state of Simcha. He's not, just because Yontif is over, he's not just going to give up on it, but he really wishes that he was there. He was in that state. Okay? Does it make sense to have school or not have school on Isru Chag now? What do you guys think?
No.
All right, the consensus is no school on Isru Chag. All right, everybody have a good Yontif, and we're going to be off next Wednesday night. So the Wednesday night after that, we'll be on again. Same time, 8:30, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, have a good night.
Thank you.
Bye. Good night.